News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. It is nearly 7 minutes after 8 o'clock now, Mobile Mornings, and this is the hour where we turn up your voice if you like, 251-343-0106. If you want to join the show, feel free to call. And also, that's always the text line, 251-343-0106. So shoot us your thoughts on what we're talking about, or maybe start a new topic yourself.
Yeah, and of course, you got the eclipse coming later today. And Dr. Bill said we'll have our most coverage in our area, which will be right around 80% of the moon covering the sun, at around 1:54 p.m., so on the tail end of midday Mobile. So those hoarders out there who have kept your eclipse glasses since the last major one in 2017, you're in luck, especially if you know where they are, because I'm still trying to decide how exactly I'm going to get a good look at the sun, at the eclipse later today. I don't have the glasses.
All this talk of the eclipse for the last 2 or 3 weeks as we prepare for it, and I'm actually unclear on something.
Okay.
So go ahead and explain to me. You can actually look at the whole thing when it's at its highest level or no.
If
you're in an area where you get the full
totality.
Got it.
Yeah.
So Mobile, that's not going to happen.
No. So you're really playing with fire.
You have to look up with the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
And of course, one of the most legendary images of an American president of all time was when we were having this exact same discussion.
45.
Yeah. We had this exact same
Trumpster
discussion. Everyone around the country, make sure you have your glasses on. Back in 2017, and then you see the president looking straight
up there.
No glasses.
Asking his kid to look with him. All right, so during this, when is the time that we can't even look up at all?
Well, I mean, most of the time
you
should not look directly at the sun most of the time.
But there
so
aren't
pretty
warnings.
Much all day.
It's not warnings like now. This is exceptional.
You can go out and look at the sun right now if you want to try. It's still not good for your eyes.
I know that, but it's not going to immediately toss me, into
blindness.
Retinas just pop out. I think that what I'm saying is, can one glance, if I'm on my walk?
Yeah, take a quick look.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
At what time should I begin to be precautious about even look? We look at the sun all the time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
None of us have, we glance at the sun all the time without any bad consequence.
Okay.
So that's my question to you is, if I'm on one of my rigorous walks.
Yeah. Will it be safe for you to look up?
Right.
And when? I don't know. I saw so many people, talking about this eclipse. I said, I'm going to let the experts handle that one. I'm just going to stay on the periphery of this whole eclipse talk and just be ready for Monday when it comes by. So honestly, I don't have all the answers about how to keep your eyes safe.
I have a story from an expert. Would you like to hear what he
says? Please, yeah.
Say?
What's he saying?
He says,
so-called expert.
Well, he is the there's a group in Chicago, Prevent Blindness Chicago. That was really not intended to be the punchline, but anyway, you found it to be funny.
It's his moment to shine right here.
Chicago Health and Safety Organization, dedicated to fighting blindness, saving sight, is encouraging eye safety by dispelling some common misconceptions surrounding the eclipse. His name is Jeff Todd, president, CEO of the organization. He says, one common misconception is the belief that it's safe to look at the sun if it's only for a minute or two. Eclipse viewers should never look directly at the sun, as it can cause permanent eye damage. So, okay, don't even glance at it. Exposing your eyes to the sun without proper eye protection during a solar eclipse, like on a regular Monday out there in April, a normal one.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say don't look at the sun.
Okay.
You do.
That's me.
He's the expert, not you.
Not me.
So anyway, I know it's not healthy to stare at the sun, but anyway, exposing your eyes to the sun without proper eye protection during a solar eclipse can cause eclipse blindness or retinal burns, also known as, it's solar retinopathy, I guess.
Oof. Sounds painful.
Sounds like a problem. Todd acknowledged, however, that there is a very brief period during a total solar eclipse when it can be safe to remove your glasses. That's if you're at the totality of it all, and it all matches up, and now you can look, right? Also, he says there is it's not good to do it with a through your smartphone, taking a picture, because, of course, when you're getting ready to take the picture, you're trying to line it all up, and you're essentially looking at, you know, with your blind eye.
Mm.
So it's not so much looking through the camera lens of your phone, it's getting it all lined up.
So if you want to safely get a picture, you kind of just got to point and pray, right?
Or wear the glasses.
Okay.
Take a picture with the glasses.
All right.
So that's
well,
Mr. Todd.
Michael says, so I guess Spring Hill Ace had glasses yesterday. I should have expected that. Spring Hill Ace has everything. He said also Al's Five and Dime has it too. So there's some places still out there selling them. I felt like at this point, remember, we had a pretty deep freeze earlier this year, and I remember Sean and several other people were like, you need to go out and get those for the faucets outside, the faucet covers to keep it warm. Well, by the time I thought about buying them, we were getting ready for the freeze that night, and, you know, Home Depot, Lowe's,
Ace, sold out.
Everyone was sold out. So I was kind of figuring the same thing with these eclipse glasses, apparently they're still out there.
Well, but you're now, it's like day before the Super Bowl, it's going to be a price hike.
Don't you think? Surge pricing for the glasses?
I'm seeing some glasses online anywhere, it looks like, from $10 to $25.
You think there's, like, levels of eclipse glasses?
Yeah, I'm looking at them right now. $29 eclipse glasses. $6.99. Which would you want to go with?
And those are online.
They're
so
online.
If you order them, any chance they get here before noon today?
No, sir, they do not. So anyway, yeah, it looks like it's anywhere from $6.99 to, like, $30.
Brian in Mobile says use a pinhole projector. Now, I think for the one of the last eclipses, and I get so confused, they've got eclipse. I get it confused with all the astronomy talk because everyone's pointing back to 2017. I remember just last year something was going on up there, and we all went outside. We were at the station here on the weekend, and we all went out and looked up at the sun for one reason or the other. But I remember my parents said they used a pinhole projector, I think. To watch one of these last eclipses. Brian says use a pinhole projector. That's one of those where I see – I don't trust my abilities to build the pinhole projector. It's something we never did, and we didn't have any crafts at my school when I was growing up. We never did anything fun like that to get ready to watch an eclipse. So maybe a pinhole projector would be easy to make, but I'll let someone else go through that effort.
I'm online looking at it right now. It's not easy.
And Pat, thank you for taking one for the team.
If you're a fourth grader, it's probably easy.
Pat says, I'll get some pictures for you. So he's going to take one for the team, and that'd be great, Pat. Just send it over, and I'll tell everyone that I went out there and took those pictures myself.
Well, Leanna's got some plans, right?
Yeah, Leanna and Trace, who they always have great footage wherever they go. Remember that great drone shot they had from Chili Cook-Off?
Yeah.
And so they're going out to Battleship Memorial Park and hopefully getting some great footage there. We're going to see if we can get the live stream going. Of course, you have to have internet to have that.
Yep.
So hopefully we'll be ready for that.
We'll let you know if we can, and you can watch their coverage live.
I do want to get into several things this hour, including the bomb threats at Planet Fitness. We actually have someone who was directly involved in that.
Don't.
Maybe not directly involved, but
I was there the next day. I was there Sunday morning, like when they opened at 7, and I got there about 8.
Mm-hmm. And that's it's a serious thing whenever you get a bomb threat called in, and that's happened at a bunch of Planet Fitnesses across the country, but 3 here in our own backyards. We'll get into that, and also this Pritchard back and forth, Pritchard PD with Mobile County Law Enforcement and the Bridge Project. But I wanted to read this text from Greg earlier. He said, let's see if I can find Greg. We've gotten so many texts from you this morning. He said, Dalton, I taught your alma mater last Thursday at the Sea Lab. The sixth graders from Clark Prep went down to Dauphin Island.
All right.
Dauphin Island Sea Lab. I'm glad they started doing that. I didn't get to go down to the Sea Lab in sixth grade. But that's very cool, Greg, and we love what y'all are doing down at the Sea Lab and had that great thing going on this weekend. We were out at Discover North Baldwin Outdoor Expo on Saturday at Bicentennial Park in Stockton, and you've heard Dan and I talk about how beautiful Bicentennial Park is.
It really is.
And that was especially the case with the weather that was ordered up on Saturday. But I want to thank Christina and the whole North Baldwin Chamber of Commerce for having us out there. It is such a good event on a number of levels because, I mean, there was such great food and great people out there. But the things that our hunters and our fishermen are doing as far as conservation goes, and as far as getting kids involved to keep the hunting and fishing going along the Gulf Coast and in Alabama. It's amazing. And you sit down or you talk with Kenny Weiss Sr. and his son KJ, the world champ turkey callers.
Known him for years.
Captain Bobby Abruscato, who did his thing on Saturday morning. And then...
how about the 8-year-old?
The 8-year-old Jay with the reptile bus, Jay Lightsey.
And you find him at...
So he's Jay Outdoors. I'll have to pull up his Instagram page.
Outdoors with Jay.
That's it.
So if you're on social media... pull up, just search Outdoors with Jay. He's a young guy. I guess he's from Baldwin County. And he's got such a great way about, he's got snakes and turtles, and he's able to handle them and show them. And he does a great presentation.
He does, yeah. He's like an old hat, right?
Yeah.
And he had all the kids come up.
Yep.
So every kid that was there, every child that was there came up to the stage because they wanted to hold a snake or pet mm-hmm. a snake or pet
at least
a turtle.
Or at least be close.
I don't know if you saw me inching away when he got up there.
I saw me inching away.
So he was fantastic. But Dip McMillan and Dippy Outdoors, it was my first chance meeting Dip this weekend. Their program, where they're getting kids involved in hunting and fishing,
mm-hmm.
and very often it's kids who don't have maybe the support system in their family to get them out there and go hunting or fishing, or maybe just not
sure.
that know-how in the family.
Right.
He's and his crew, Dippy Outdoors, they've been doing it for years, but they get these kids out there. They've got a crappie tournament coming up in August, I believe. They gave away so many great things to the kids on Saturday to get them involved in the outdoors. And I just think it's wonderful if you look at that world and the support system they're kind of trying to put in place for the next generations to come. And it all makes sense, right? We have such a beautiful area, our delta. You know, the Baykeeper's doing what they can to try to keep everything as clean as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really a good thing to see the work that's being put in to keep our area beautiful and keep these kids interested in hunting and fishing. It's great.
And I think it used to be easier to interest the kids in outdoors because they were already outdoors.
Yeah.
They were out there.
You have to get them off the video games.
You've got to kind of coax them out there. So the sooner you can get them to have an appreciation and possibly even a love for the outdoors and all the opportunities, the better.
But Dip and his team are taking kids out for their first hunting trips. Whenever they bag a deer, they're mounting it for them for free. It's just amazing. I encourage you to check out him online as well, Dippy Outdoors, D-I-P-P-I.
19 minutes after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. On the way, what do you choose,
We'll
sir?
Get some texts, but also this Pritchard Police Department battle with the Mobile yep. County Sheriff's Office and Mobile County District Attorney.
It's not pleasant.
It's not, and it reached a fevered pitch on Friday. I'll kind of try to go into detail on the back and forth when we get back.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 824 on Mobile Mornings. And it's eclipse day, so y'all get ready for that this afternoon.
Yeah, how about back-to-back days? No more talking about Caitlin Clark in Iowa, and then after today, no more talk about the eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to watch women's basketball anymore. That's great.
Caitlin Clark will visibly disappear into the world known as the WNBA.
That's right.
Or can she raise the WNBA to something that people want to watch?
I don't know. She's going to be facing a lot of pushback, I think, from some of the folks up there. We'll get to the text here in a minute, but I want to talk about this story Lanyap and Scott Johnson did a great write-up on this over the weekend, but it all began Thursday evening when Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch publicly challenged Pritchard city officials to evaluate its law enforcement leadership and hold them accountable for doing their jobs diligently. Now, Fox 10, remember, they were trying to get response directly from Pritchard Mayor Jimmy Gardner, I believe, on Thursday after the sheriff put his statement out there. And I don't think Fox 10 was allowed in, right? That was another part of this story.
Very true.
Birch says that the city has become a safe haven for criminals under its current structure and leadership. He then went into further detail in a phone interview with Lanyap on Friday. Birch said he's become frustrated with what he describes as preventable crime in the city, alleging that the local police department is not following through on its duties. This all came about after a shooting last week, shooting and robbery at T&J Food Mart on April 2nd. Now, the suspect, who was arrested over the weekend, Rashad Norwood, 30 years old.
Arrested by?
I think arrested by the sheriff's. I'm not sure. I'm actually not sure who made the arrest. I think the sheriff's office.
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah. But he was a known violent offender. And Burge said not only was Norwood already on probation, but he had been arrested for felony charges in February of last year and again in January of this year. And what has Burge teed off here? He said that district judges ultimately had to toss out both of those felony cases because Pritchard police officers didn't sign the warrants.
Yeah.
And it's obviously a major issue. He said when making a probable cause arrest, officers have 72 hours to have the warrant signed. Now, in addition, it sounds like they didn't sign the warrant last week for Norwood's arrest, and they had 72 hours, so they had to have it done by Thursday at 3 p.m. So Burch used his authority as sheriff and overstepped the local agency, issued an arrest order, and filed those on Friday morning. Pritchard Police Chief Walter Knight denied the accusations from Burch in a letter on Friday and accused Burch and Mobile County prosecutors of conspiring to undermine his agency with a, quote, racist narrative.
And the narrative is that they can't do their job. Or what's the narrative?
Right. So his exact words, and I think we need to read that in context.
Yes.
This is Chief Knight. He said, this is a poorly veiled attempt to perpetuate a racist narrative that our department is unable to do its job. We are skilled, competent, and passionate law enforcement officers, but when the system that we depend on to work in partnership with us refuses to do so, this is what happens. He is indicating that the sheriff's office, Birch, and the district attorney's office under Keith Blackwood have, in his words, worked in concert to intentionally rip away control and credibility from the city of Pritchard's police department. He says that felony warrants can only come from the Mobile County DA's office. Pritchard can't issue them himself. He said that the DA's office refuses to sign warrants. And he
like
alleged,
a setup.
Right, like they're setting them up to fail.
To fail,
is
right.
What Knight says.
And on the other hand, what Birch seems to be saying is that that lives are at risk because in his view, and I'm kind of putting words in his mouth, but not too much, the Pritchard Police Department has a problem reaching a certain level of competence.
Right.
So he's saying they're not getting the job done, therefore we've got no choice. We're not trying to be the Lone Rangers sweeping in here and taking care of all the problems, but if we don't, who does?
Right. And so
and I'd love to have both or some, you know, one or both on to talk it out.
And the back and forth between the Pritchard PD and the city of Pritchard and the district attorney's office has been going on for some time, even before this shooting at the T&J Food Mart. Pritchard Mayor Jimmy Gardner wrote a letter to District Attorney Keith Blackwood back on February 1st and echoed the belief that county law enforcement has been overstepping Pritchard authorities without communicating. Mayor Gardner said in a recent incident, Pritchard leadership learned from news broadcasts that sheriff's deputies arrested a local suspect that he said they had been seeking a warrant for. Gardner also accused county prosecutors of nastiness towards his police officers, unwillingness to work with them, and requiring a heightened level of probable cause that other agencies aren't held to. So Blackwood responded and echoed the sheriff's criticism of the police department. He added he's perplexed that racism continues to be alleged. And then referencing Norwood's case specifically, he said previous prosecution attempts were dismissed because of clerical errors. Blackwood said a variety of issues that have been dealt with in Pritchard's police department are not good. He said, including having uncertified officers actively working in the city, officers who have made false statements, and, quote, failure to safekeep and timely provide evidence for prosecution.
Jimmy Gardner used to be the chief of police in Pritchard, now the mayor, and I'd certainly invite him on our airways. I know him, he knows me. It's 8:30 with Dan and Dalton.
8:34 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Turn up your voice here in a second, 251-343-0106. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We are doing just fine. Another beautiful day on the way after a beautiful weekend. And speaking of beautiful, you got some beautiful rides on the lot at McConnell Automotive.
That's right, man. Between Friday and Saturday, we traded in 9 vehicles. Got a nice little 21 red AT4 with low miles. Traded in another 21 gray AT4. It's got 60 miles on it. Got a 24 three-quarter ton Denali Ultimate we traded in with 8,000 miles on it. It's a great day to come out here. Y'all want to come check the clips out? We'll come check out these fine rides. We'll be here all day. And got a great selection of new and used. You can check that stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And like I said, we got plenty of vehicles, anything that you want, from Range Rovers to BMWs to Lexus to Toyota, Nissan, whatever you want, we've got.
Yeah, and if someone's driving around during the eclipse, they've got their eyes on the road like they're supposed to, but the person behind them doesn't and rear ends them, you're able to fix that car up too there at McConnell with your great body shop and service department.
That's right. Thomas and all the guys and the girls back there take care of all your needs. And, I mean, we got a great body shop. I'll put it up against any body shop in Mobile. So come see us, McConnell Automotive.
Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive, Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, the text line.
Yeah, and a bunch of texts to get to, and we'll also come to the phones here in a minute, 251-343-0106. It was the Mobile County Sheriff's Office
who made that arrest
of the suspect in that T&J Food Mart shooting. This texter says, I applaud the sheriff for his actions. Thank you for getting this guy off the streets. And
that's the point, right?
That's the point. And Brad also texted in and said, in what universe is demanding better service for an underserved community racist? Yeah, and I'm asking the same question there.
Are they assisting them, or are they going around them? I think that's part of the question here. Some feelings are hurt, it looks like. Is there any reason for that? Is there any truth to those accusations against the sheriff's department? Now, the fact that they got the guy, very dangerous guy, off the streets over the weekend, it's like, well, regardless of that conversation, score one for the sheriff's department.
Right.
A very dangerous man is off the streets in a town that doesn't need any more dangerous men on the street.
Yeah, and it's not just a good thing. It's a necessary thing.
Right.
And they made it happen. And quick update also, traffic update. Todd says two people walking westbound on the eastbound side of the Bayway. So two people walking they're headed westbound, but they're on the eastbound side of the Bayway. So be very aware if you're out there today.
Wow.
Let's head to the phones, 251-343-0106. And David from Mobile joins us. Hey, David.
Morning, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Sounds like Morgan Wallen needs to move to Pritchard if he wants to get away with throwing chairs off of bar rooftops.
How about that was a six? That was a, it wasn't like Grace downtown Mobile where you're like 12 feet off the ground. No, six stories. That'd be like throwing it off our building here. That could create a problem below.
I think he just wanted to be the first official arrest at his buddy's new bar, Eric Church's bar chief. And I think he made that happen.
Yeah, I think a lot of the issues within the Pritchard Police Department are having with the DA's office and the sheriff's office could actually be cleared up if they hired a police department attorney. You know, the Mobile Police Department is big enough that they have their own attorney on staff. Wanda Rahman, I believe, was that person at one time. I don't know if she's still in that role or not. Even if the Pritchard Police Department can't afford a staff attorney, a full-time staff attorney, they could certainly afford to hire one on a part-time basis whose job would be to go through, search warrant and arrest warrant applications that go to the judges in the district attorney's office, make sure that everything is there, that the probable cause statement is there, that the signatures are there, that everything's in working order. Just kind of be like almost like a legal clerk for the police department. And then they could also make sure that all of the officers on the force are certified and keep their certifications active. Kind of like I said, legal clerk for the police department. I think that would solve, and they could also act as a liaison with the district attorney's office in making sure that the police department is providing defining what the district attorney's office wants and needs to execute those warrants and prosecute those cases.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think that it would not be a surprise at all if funding was a problem. I'm sure it's a problem for the Pritchard Police Department, and funding keeps the wheels greased up and making sure that you've got all your people signed up and they're certified and good to go. Funding can take care of a lot of problems in any organization, but when it comes down to an organization that is fighting a large amount of crime, you'd hate for that organization to not have its footing in enough money to do their job. I believe you can maybe look at that as one of the root causes, and the Mobile Sheriff's Department is simply saying, look, we don't know what the problem is here. Again, words in the mouth. But let me just say, I'm not sure what the problem is here, but we need more competence from you, and competence is going to give us confidence that you'll continue to do the job. If not, we think we need to act fast and get people off the street.
Yeah, but and also, though, if you do have the funding, you have to use it wisely. And is the money being used wisely at the Pritchard Police Department? That's another question that needs to be asked there, too.
Yeah.
As Texter says,
it needs to be asked in any police department.
Sounds like Pritchard is a typical government agency, very little action. That's according to an unnamed Texter there. And I wonder if this is kind of it's almost like in a way, a chicken or egg situation.
Okay.
It's like, is the crime in Pritchard bad because the police department is having its issues, or is the police department having issues because crime in Pritchard is so bad?
Yeah,
I mean, it's got to be difficult to hire people when you're going to be working day to day on cases just like that one we were talking about from T&J Food Mart. And it's more than that. It's happening multiple times a day.
It hasn't been presented, I don't think, necessarily as a personal strike against Pritchard PD. I think what Birch is saying is that we wake up in the morning with the idea we have to do our job, and in a place like Pritchard, it's even more urgent. For instance, this situation with the guy who blatantly shot a grocer 5 times, correct?
I think so.
That's the guy that got off the street. So he was armed and dangerous, and Birch was lamenting the fact that he was free and was on the street in the first place, and just said, we don't have time to mess around here and make sure everybody's feelings are okay. We've got to get a bad guy off the street.
Yeah, we got to get a handle on this. Mr. Plott said, I believe Birch in this matter simply because Pritchard's first response was to go to racism because they didn't have anything else. And that was the words from the police chief, Walter Knight, who said that the sheriff's office and the district attorney are just perpetuating a false narrative that Pritchard PD is incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that it was racist to do so. Gardner says, you would think the Pritchard police chief and mayor, et cetera, would think it's important enough to have a dialogue with Mobile Judicial. I'm not sure. I do know they have a meeting set up this week with District Attorney Blackwood. So April 10th, you'll see a meeting between the Pritchard, I think either Gardner or Knight or both, meeting with District Attorney Blackwood to maybe clear some of this up.
And that needs to happen. And I'm sure it's not going to be in public, but even in private and mediated, I don't know, some sort of mediation or somebody that would moderate and try to keep things fair with everyone's opinion being heard. It is a little disappointing that two things here. It's disappointing that a law enforcement agency like the Pritchard Police Department is at odds with the state's district attorney's office.
The counties.
Here, Mobile County, because obviously those two have got to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also disappointing that the term racism was thrown out there in the midst of all this.
Yeah. And speaking of law enforcement and quick action, this Planet Fitness, these bomb threats that have been going on and very close to home here recently, as it was the Fairhope Planet Fitness that had to shut things down on Saturday. Mobile, the FBI office of Mobile, went over to Fairhope after the gym received a bomb threat. According to Fairhope police, a threat was emailed to a news outlet targeting multiple Planet Fitness locations. One Planet Fitness in Daphne and one in Mobile was also targeted. I'm not sure which Planet Fitness in Mobile. And maybe they don't even know some of these cities if they have more than one. They're just, you know, people from somewhere else sending in these bomb threats. But Fairhope Police said it's important to note that many of the Planet Fitness franchises around the country have received similar threats in recent weeks. This is all after a video went viral online that a woman at some Planet Fitness location
another part of the country.
In another part of the country, videoed a transgender a man that identifies as a woman shaving his legs in the locker room. She filmed it. It goes viral online, and she ends up losing her membership because it's a rule that you're not allowed to film anyone under any circumstances
right.
in these Planet Fitness locker rooms. And after that, they said these bomb threats began being kind of issued around the country. So I imagine that was a scary situation for some of the people who were in Planet Fitness on Saturday when they got evacuated.
Well, I think, and I think they wasn't just the Planet Fitness, but other adjoining buildings in that shopping center, which is where the Winn-Dixie is on Greeno Road. And it's yeah, I'm sure it was frightening for the people on Saturday afternoon at Planet Fitness, and then it was frightening for them the next day, the next morning. I was in there at 8 o'clock, and you know, I was overdoing it. And I'm sure that they were like, you cannot bench press that. So the poor people were shocked twice over the weekend at Planet Fitness in Fairhope. And by the way, yeah, those allegations all came down again that people now against transgenders in a changing room for females. And but it all started with the violation of taking someone's picture in a locker room.
So you said when you got there that you could still see the work that the FBI had done the previous day as they kind of looked around, and you were afraid to take a picture of it because you didn't want to lose your membership.
All lockers were wide open, though, I can tell
they
you
they had searched them, yeah. Tuskers texted in, and by the way, coming up, we'll be talking with Brian Comer with Tobias and Comer Law for another edition of Law 251. Tusker says it's an eclipse. It's happened since the dawn of time. We'll still be here tomorrow. We should tell that to some of the conspiracy theorists online who are not so sure. But Tuskers continues, now is a great opportunity to teach kids about an eclipse, not keep them in. I loved my science classes. Yeah, and you can see a lot of schools in our area around the country are doing just that, using it as a teaching opportunity. And a lot of them are worried about liability.
Yep.
And they're saying, hey, if you kids are going to burn out your retinas, you'll do that on your own time at your own house.
Including an organization you may be aware of, the United States of America.
They declared a state of emergency because there's going to be so many people on the roads, yeah.
Oh, okay, that's all right. 847, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5.
Brian Comer joins me next with Tobias and Comer Law. And welcome back, Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5, about 10 minutes until 9 o'clock. And in studio, once again, Brian Comer with Tobias and Comer Law. It is time for another edition of Law 251. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dalton. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you in. I had a great time talking with Lacey Smith last time she came in. Got to know her really well. You guys are building, you have a heck of a team over there at Tobias and Comer Law.
Thank you. We're real happy.
Great people. And one of the things I talked with Lacey about was drunk driving. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that quite a bit over the years. And it just keeps happening. And I know you do a great job, and we try to here to get this information out to people so they can be as safe as possible and realize these statistics and how crazy they are. And it's not just drunk driving. It's distracted driving as well.
Absolutely.
And I know you've seen a ton of these cases over the years, and you've got some stats on distracted driving, but also want to kind of go into the law, civil penalties when it comes to accidents involving distracted driving. So some of the stats you've got here are crazy.
Yeah, they really are. And they really tell the story, right? So, I mean, we've talked about this before, how people think, you know, I can multitask. I can do, you know, I can text and drive, and you just can't. The research bears that out, and the numbers really bear that out. I mean, in a 25 to 34-year-old age group, 30% of drivers distracted by cell phones were in fatal crashes. I mean, you think of the magnitude of that, you know, 3 out of 10, I mean, and it's just so preventable. All you got to do is put the phone down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they've these car makers and the people who put the electronics in those cars, I mean, you've basically got Siri, you've got Google, Android, whatever. You can talk, do these texts. I know it's not the exact same or maybe as efficient, but it's a heck of a lot safer.
Sure.
And we know that having that cell phone up in your face, yeah, you might not be driving drunk, but the effects can end up being about the same.
Yeah, you're right. And in fact, there was a study that was done by this researcher at the University of Utah, and he determined that very thing, that the level of distraction that you have, your perception reaction time is as slow when you're texting and driving as being 0.08 under the influence. And I mean, it's just, if you're not looking at the road, if you're looking at your device, you're not focused on what you need to be focused on. And that is what's in front of you. Where's the danger? Are there kids out? Are there pedestrians out? Are people stopping? And it's just so preventable if people just put the phones down.
Just put them down. Now, they're wrapping up here the legislative session in Montgomery, and I've been keeping up with them. I don't think they have any new legislation they're working on regarding driving while texting or driving on the phone. They've done that in legislative sessions past, but where do we stand on that right now? You can get pulled over if a cop sees you with a phone in your hand while you're driving.
That's right. And so it's kind of like how seatbelts used to be, how at first it was, you know, if they pulled you over for something else, you could get a ticket if you weren't wearing your seatbelt. Now that's an offense for which you can be pulled over. Same deal with a cell phone. If you've got the thing in your hand, if you're texting and driving and you know, you're not using the voice activated feature, you got it in your hand, they can pull you over and give you a ticket.
What about civilly? If there's an accident, and there are accidents all the time involving distracted drivers and innocence, and if is there like an extra penalty if they know that you were driving while texting while some accident occurred?
Yes, that's a great question. So, you know, we've talked a lot about the different damages that are recoverable, how compensatory damages, like the name suggests, are to compensate. And that's for things like out of pockets, medical bills, lost wages, things like that. If you are doing something that is in disregard of the health and safety of others, that can be wantonness. Okay. And so wantonness is a step up from negligence, a step up from I ran the red light, whoops, to if you're doing something and you know that it can cause harm and you do it anyway, the Supreme Court has said, you know, that can induce punitive damages. So if you're speeding or you're swerving and you're not looking at where you're going, you've got your cell phone there, based on the data that's out there about the level of distraction, what that means, you put that in terms of what can happen, and punitive damages can be in play. And the thing that people don't think about with that is usually that's not covered by your insurance policy. Mm. You know, if I go out and heaven forbid I run a stop sign and I back into or run into somebody's rear end somebody, then my insurance company has an obligation to pay for the damage that I caused up to my limits. That's not the case on punitive damages. If whether that be from drunk driving, whether that be from texting and driving, or whatever the case may be. And so there's personal exposure out there for people who do this.
Yeah. So, you know, the text messages back in the day, they cost 25 cents, remember, to send and receive.
I do remember, yeah.
So that could end up being the most expensive text of your life.
It really can.
If you're not paying attention the way you should be. What about, and one of these stats you have, just 2021 alone, in these distraction-affected traffic crashes, there were 644 non-occupants who were killed. So someone walking across the street or bicycling, someone completely uninvolved in that motor vehicle and the driving of it. What can folks do to protect themselves? Since people aren't going to stop driving distracted, what can you do if that happens to you?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. First, you know, be defensive at all times. Always be aware of your surroundings. Okay. And that's true whether you're in the car and you're driving, whether you're on your bicycle, whether you're walking your dog, whatever. Be on the lookout for people around you. Assume the other person doesn't see you. Assume that that they're not paying attention. And have in your mind, and it's sad that we have to say this, but have in your mind, what do I do if this car doesn't stop? What do I do if this car swerves off the road towards me? Where can I escape? And that's the best that we can do. You know, I mean, the message is out there, right? And it has been for drinking and driving, people still drink and drive. For driving while distracted, they still do it. And so that's all that we can do to protect ourselves.
Plan ahead. Yeah, I don't know if I've seen too many action movies over the years or what it is, but I'm always thinking of that exit plan.
Right.
So I'm glad to know that that's a good thing to be doing. Sure. to be prepared. Well, Brian, thank you so much for coming in. Some great information as always. And I want to point folks to your site because it's a great website, TobiasComerLaw.com. All the information about you and Desi and Lacey, and really appreciate the work you guys are doing.
Well, thanks so much. And I appreciate you having us.
All right. That's Brian Comer with Tobias and Comer Law. Check them out, TobiasComerLaw.com. And another edition of Law 251 right there. Coming up next, the Jeff Poor Show right here on FM Talk 106.5.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.